It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
I guess
we can do this.
Get this music out of here. We don't deserve the whole intro.
We could have just let it play for the next hours.
Look, man. All right, here's what we're going to do first. Before we do anything else today, we're going to try and give you something.
Okay. We should do all the giveaways right now.
We have so many things to give away.
That's right.
The good news is we have things to give you. If you would like to win an exclusive Insiders hoodie courtesy of Jiffy Lube that you can only win through this contest.
That's right.
Along with a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate. Get yourself right with the holiday driving season like now.
Yeah, go get your headlights checked, battery tested.
Windshield wipers. Headlights, brake lights.
Yes, all of those things. Like, have your oil changed. Like, all of it. Do it right now.
$33 off coupon.
There's only one thing worse than the Sacramento Kings right now. It's getting stuck at your mother-in-law's house for an extra 3 days.
Oh, boy.
Because your car broke down.
Oh, boy. Go to ESPN1320.com right now. Find the Jiffy Lube contest page. Today's word is trouble.
Trouble.
T-R-O-U-B-L-E. That is the Jiffy Lube teamwork word of the day because the Kings are very much in trouble after a 113-110 loss. Excuse me. 113-100 loss to the Lakers last night. Look, man, we keep talking about the red button. I don't know what the red button is because I think it's different from person to person. But continuing on whatever path they're on right now and going, hey, it's going to work itself out. No, it's not. It's not going to magically get better. They're not going to magically turn into this awesome defensive team that knocks down a bunch of threes. And oh my God, look, they're the Boston Celtics. That's not going to happen. This group of players, not even going to single anybody out. This particular group of players, this roster as constructed, is not it. So do literally anything.
You have to do something, Kyle.
Somebody has to be awake over there.
You have
at Golden One Center to do something. There's no way you watched that last night and went, no, this is good. No, we're fine with this. This is good. Everything's going according to plan.
Like, I saw a scene of Vivek Ranadive sitting courtside. The last couple of games, it's been grumpy. Like, he's been very upset. They brought in Vlade to try to cheer him up. Because just so people know, Vlade is one of those people that you would, like, in life, there are people that you would want to go hang out with and have dinner with. Vlade Divac is one of those dudes. He's one of the coolest dudes you're ever going to run into. It felt like they brought him in to like put his arm around Vivek and like watch the disaster, the train wreck happening together.
They brought in his emotional support, Vlade.
It was an emotional support, Vlade.
Okay.
Last night, it was Anjali that was sitting there trying to console her dad courtside.
Great.
Like, what is happening is...
This is all good stuff. This is all signs of a healthy organization. This
you just good. Had two games in 12 days, and both of those games ended in massive disappointment. Incredible disappointment. And it's not even just that you lost. It's the way you lost. It's that you gave up... You were outscored 41-21 in the first quarter against the Denver Nuggets and then had to climb back in the game the entire time. And then lose because...
And then smoke a 10-point lead with 4 minutes to go.
And then a 35-year-old Hall of Famer fumbles the ball underneath the basket and doesn't score the game-winning bucket with a couple of seconds left. Like, you go into a game against the Lakers, and you're in it. And then you're just not. Like, you have things that are working, and then you go away from them. I don't know what to say, man. The way that they've lost, having Laker fans in the building chanting, "Let's go, Lakers!" Like, and really almost no response from Kings fans. Because at this point, like, what are you supposed to say? We don't know. Our team sucks at home. They don't play good here. We don't get to see good basketball at home, despite the fact that we're paying some of the highest ticket prices in the league. All we get to see is bad basketball at home. It's wild.
in the chatty house, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320 if you would like to watch this show. Appreciate everybody listening either on the free Odyssey app or, of course, on the radio on 1320 AM. Bad Finger said, Kings occasionally win games, but they rarely beat their opponents. There is no killer instinct with this team. That's a good place to start.
Kyle, I'm going to be honest. They're more talented than a lot of teams. And
yeah,
so,
and it doesn't matter on a nightly freaking basis.
No, so they win some of those games that we're talking about, that you're talking about there, Bad Finger. They win some of those games because they're just so much more talented than their opponent. Mm-hmm. It's the other game. Anytime things get tough, it's gone.
Domantas Sabonis in the locker room last night. We were watching the video earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to play it for everybody because it's the same thing we've been hearing from the Kings for a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
It's, well, we know what we got to do. We got to lock in. We got to focus.
We love each other.
We love each other. You know, we know what we got to do. We just got to go out there and do it. Okay. I'm sorry. That's not good enough anymore. We know what we got to do. We just got to do it. No, it doesn't. That plays when you've lost three in a row. And it's like, hey, you know what? We know the fixes we got to make. We just got to go out there and do it. Okay. When you're 13 and 15 in a year where everybody in this area was going like, yeah, hey, this is a 50-plus win team. I didn't think that was crazy.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you the one reason why I'm going to look at Domantas Sabonis and I'm going to believe that what he is saying, he believes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't believe that Domantas Sabonis is any part of the reason why they're losing. And he doesn't know why they're losing.
Mm-hmm.
We watched him on Tuesday take one of the most brutal falls that you're going to see. And the dude somehow mustered enough strength to finish the game.
Mm-hmm.
Played the rest of the game. Like, mm-hmm. Happened in the second quarter. I didn't think he'd be able to come out of halftime. In all honesty, talking to him in the last couple of days, he didn't believe he was going to be able to come out after halftime. Gritted it out. You watched him in the second quarter last night.
Mm-hmm.
Kings call a timeout. He starts pointing for the medical team to come over immediately. He runs over to the bench, and they start working on his back. He was hurting so incredibly bad. There are players there that are playing through pain, that are playing through all kinds of things, and still putting up huge performances, but it's the collective. For some reason, there's something missing with this group of players that is allowing them to be good on the court together. It does feel like a group of individuals who take turns. It feels like a group of individuals who have to get their specific number of shots at certain times. We got to the third quarter last night, and Kyle, I De'Aaron Fox picks up his fifth foul. They've got to pull him out of the game. Malik Monk pick and roll with Domantas Sabonis bucket. Malik mm-hmm. Monk pick and roll with Domantas Sabonis bucket. Malik Monk pick and roll with Domantas Sabonis bucket. Three out of four plays. Boom, 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 boom.
What was the fourth play?
DeMar DeRozan jumper. Then a DeMar DeRozan jumper.
A 17-footer.
17-foot fall-away jumper. Then a Kevin Huerter 27-foot jumper. Never again did we have a Malik Monk to Domantas Sabonis dunk, pick and roll bucket. Like, they just stopped going to what was working.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Like, if you're on the court and you're a player and you're like, hey, can we keep running this play until literally their entire team is sitting on it and we can't run the play anymore?
Right. Run it until the wheels fall off. Because once the wheels fall off, it means something else is now open. You need to have a counter for it, which I'm sure they do. But I don't understand the reluctance to just hammer pick and roll all the time. Malik Monk, you mentioned it yesterday, is statistically the best pick and roll ball handler.
Yeah, the best pick and roll ball handler in the league, like last 3 years. Like,
that's insane.
He's incredible.
Run it all the time. I think fundamentally it's really clear. Like, well, we can talk trade market again if you want, and maybe that would help. But I saw someone in the chatty house say Kyle Kuzma and Cam Johnson aren't fixing this team. Yeah, I agree. There's something fundamentally wrong with this collection of players.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's an interpersonal conflict, whether it is the mental makeup, whether it is injury. I don't know. I'm not in the locker room day to day to know exactly. But the fact that we all last year, because last season we went, hey, they're coming off a 48-win year. They should be a 50-plus win team this year. And what was the issue we talked about all year? Athleticism and length on the wings and just desire.
Mm-hmm.
Like heart. Like, where's the dogs on this team? We said that so many times. And then Keon comes in. It's like, oh, yeah, hey, Keon, he's a difference maker like that. And it's just when you keep running into the same problem over and over and over and over again, like eventually you're the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't agree more that put Cam Johnson in for 24 minutes last night. Is that making a substantial difference?
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
No. And again, like I know, like there structurally, there were things in that game that were frustrating. I thought the officiating wasn't great. There were things that like, but you have to understand the Lakers always get the whistles. You know that. You know that going in. So why are you reaching? Why are you just like making easy calls for the officials? It's the Lakers. They're always going to get the calls. I don't want to hear any of those excuses from anybody. Like you went into a game and you did not execute whatever game plan that you had.
Yeah. I don't disagree. The officiating wasn't awesome last night. But the first thing I'm looking at is A, you don't you don't get to start with officiating when you're 13 and 14.
No.
You don't get to start there.
13 and 15 now.
Well, and now yeah. 13 and 15. Thank you. But what I'm looking at is you've got 19 points off your bench, including seven combined from Orlando Robinson, Isaac Jones, and Alex Len, who played a grand total of 11 minutes.
Yeah.
And you've got the Lakers, who have one guy off their bench scoring 16 by himself.
Mm.
I'm looking at that. I'm looking at Keegan Murray, 4 for 11 from the floor. I'm looking at DeMar DeRozan, 4 for 13 from the floor. Those are the things I'm looking at first.
Yeah.
And again, I didn't think the officiating was great, but I'm not going to sit here and harp on the whistle last night when there's a fundamental issue with the Kings.
Oh no, I totally agree.
That's where I land here.
And I mean, this week we saw De'Aaron Fox go out on Draymond Green's podcast and very specifically say it's like it's personnel. Like we need different players.
Mm-hmm.
Like basically.
Yeah.
Like hey,
he didn't say those words, but
yeah. Well, I mean,
heavily implied.
No, I mean, he was very close to saying those words. Like,
yeah.
we need changes.
Yes.
Like, and I think everyone can see it, but at the same time, like, if they can't pull off a deal because they don't have anything to offer, like, you can't just make a deal to make a deal. You have to make a deal because it makes your team better.
And at some point, that I agree. You can't just swap bad player for bad player or non-contributor for non-contributor and go, look, we made a trade. I'm with you. That doesn't work. And this is where, and again, we're having a wide-ranging conversation here. If you would like to join the program, please do on the Oak Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If that's the case, if the Kings are sitting here in December of 2024 and they are unable to be competitive in the trade market,
mm-hmm.
you have a very real problem in your front office.
Oh, yeah.
And if the case is that they're calling and they're going, hey, Trey Lyles expiring and Kevin Herter's got this deal and we have Devin Carter and we might have these picks down the line. We'll give you this pick, but there's an asterisk and it might be that pick. And that's not enough. Then it starts getting into what we talked about the other day. Now you start getting into, okay, are you including Keegan Murray? And are you including anyone? We've had all these guys who are untouchable for so long. It's like if the mantra is you got to make a move, you've got to do something,
mm-hmm.
the further and further we get from the 22-23 season, the more substantial that move has to become. At least that's what it looks like from where I'm sitting.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, you can't say you don't want them to touch their core. Their core is 13 and 15.
Thank you.
I mean, that's the facts, Jack.
It's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And again, this is not, and we talked about this last offseason. At some point, you're going to reach a point where, like, hey, it's going to get real uncomfortable. If you want to get from good to great, it's going to get a little bit uncomfortable.
Well, if you want to go from good to great, you need to have a plan to go from good to great.
Right.
Like, and their coaching can be part of that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you can't walk into a season with glaring weaknesses on your roster again and again and expect that to somehow be masked by scoring.
Right.
I mean,
that's insane.
At this point in the season, they are like maybe league average to undersized at point guard. They are now undersized at point guard. They are undersized at small forward. Mm-hmm. They are undersized at power forward. And they are undersized at center.
Which, one of the things I don't understand about that specifically is, correct me if I'm wrong, does Monty McNair not come from the Daryl Morey tree?
Yeah, of course.
Part of what made the Rockets so damn successful in the mid-2010s was because they had a bunch of dudes who were like between 6'6 and 6'9, and they had a rim-running center who blocked shots, and their primary ball handler was this 6'6 hoss of a human in James Harden. And they were super switchable on defense, and they were tenacious, and yeah, they scored the hell out of the ball, but you know what? They should have beaten the Kevin Durant Warriors because of their ability to switch, mm-hmm. because of their versatility defensively, their ability to make things hard on one of the best offenses of all time. And now you've got Monty McNair, who comes from that tree, rolling out this team that, as you just mentioned, is undersized at basically every position, has no switchability and no defensive versatility. That doesn't make any sense at all.
No. But
I don't get what he's doing.
I will tell you that, like, this team can score with anybody.
Yes.
But the answer just can't be to score as many points as possible.
Right.
It can't be, because you just saw what happened in the last 4 minutes against the Denver Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
They had 4 made free throws and went 7-7 from the field in the final 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You could not get a stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. If you can't get a stop when you need it, you're going to lose at the NBA level.
Yep.
And
that's what
again,
it comes down to.
Last night, Lakers got stops when they needed to. Kings did not. Lakers win.
Ball game over.
Ball game. That's
what
it.
Comes down to.
So I mean, I'm with Mike Brown on when it comes to like the offense defense debate. He wants to have a great offense, but he also has to demand that his players play
mm-hmm.
defense at least somewhat.
Yep.
And he has to have the players that can play defense.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't have such a gigantic drop-off from the defensive-minded player that you have hiding on your bench to the offensive-minded player that you have in your starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge issue.
Yep.
Like, what is Mike Brown supposed to do in crunch time? Is he supposed to pull off Malik Monk off the court?
Yeah, good luck.
Who is so dynamic and scoring and making all these assists, and put Keon Ellis in the game, who can't create for himself, which is fine. That's not who Keon is. Like, his dunk last night was off the charts crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not an offensive weapon.
No.
He's a defender. Mm-hmm. And so there are these give and takes that you have to do. But the contrast in players is really, really, like, crazy. How do you have these like diametrically opposed players
mm-hmm.
that you're supposed to fit into the same exact rotation?
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's tough. I think that they've done a good job of finding some, you know, diamonds in the rough. I think that Monty McNair has done a good job of building a very talented roster, but there are visible weaknesses in this roster that have not been addressed.
There's a difference between a talented roster and a well-constructed roster.
Yeah.
Ideally, you have both.
Yeah.
It's the Celtics. But I would take a well-constructed roster. There's a requisite level of talent.
Yeah. Well, that...
whatever this is.
The other thing I'm going to point out, too, it's not Monty by himself. Like, this is...
Yeah, we should money's the head. This is a front office problem.
It's Monty and Wes. It's not just Monty. Whatever's happening here, it's like if the coaching staff, if Mike Brown gets let go, almost the entire coaching staff gets let go,
right.
Like the next season. Mm-hmm. If Monty McNair is not going to be your general manager, like you can't just hand it to a guy that was like his right-hand man the entire time.
That would not be helpful.
That doesn't make any sense because they're like
self-defeating.
Two people in the same room, and unless they're just fighting and one of them has like all these ideas that are just getting pushed off to the side because he's not the head guy, that's not the way this whole thing works.
I don't think so.
So
send out to the Elk Grove Kia talk line. It's 916-909-1320. We're packing up the Don bit for today because I believe the person on the phone doesn't like it. Lewis, you're on the Insiders with Kyle and James. What's up?
Hey. How y'all fellas doing? It's so funny because I'm at work and like I just had to usher a customer out. Like, get out because I'm going to be on that radio. But it's the truth, bro. It just happened. But look, so you know what's interesting? I sit back and I'm like, you know, James was talking about how Monk and Sabonis were working so well together on you know, the pick and roll. And to me, the truth of the matter is I feel like Monk is more the point guard and Fox is more the shooting guard. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that, I just don't really see a lot of playmaking from Fox. You know what I mean? So I find that fascinating, and I'd like to see what you guys want to make with that. But if I could just throw one last little piece in there, I'm the guy who says, you know what, maybe it's time to trade Fox. I know it's blasphemous. Trade Fox for maybe LaVine, right? A two guard, right? Then we got Monk at the point guard, and then we got LaVine, and then maybe we get one or two number one picks to go with that. You know what I mean? And maybe we can use those to get somebody with some length, or maybe we trade Fox for, you know, a true power forward, right? And then we just slide Keegan in. I'm not averse to trading DeRozan either.
All right. Thanks, Lewis. Appreciate you, buddy.
Lewis got some ideas.
No bad ideas today. Honestly, like if you disagree with that, okay, that's fine. And I would probably disagree with it, mm-hmm. but I love that's what I'm talking about. Like Lewis hit the exact note I was trying to hit. Like when you're talking red button, it's everything should be on the table. And I wouldn't trade, now for the record, to respond to that directly, I wouldn't do that. I'm not trading De'Aaron Fox for Zach LaVine.
Oh no.
But I think the move that's to be made has to be substantial. I wouldn't do that one, but I think it has to be substantial like that.
Yeah.
That's from where I'm sitting. That's what my thought process is.
I think you've just put yourself in a situation where you have to start making extremely difficult decisions, mm-hmm. and they're lasting decisions. And like we talk about this all the time, like, you want to make one move. What's the cause and the effect of that move? Mm-hmm. Like, what is a ripple effect? How long can you stop what happens after that? Mm-hmm. And I think the answer, like for a lot of these things, is like, no, mm-hmm. like once you press a nuclear button here, whether it's letting go of a coach or which would just be at this point, scapegoating. Like,
yeah, it doesn't, like, I don't think that fixes the problem.
No, it's like, it doesn't matter who steps into the driver's seat there. Like, what are they supposed to do with the same exact? Like, it's not like you let Mike Brown go and every player got 3 inches taller.
Sure.
Like, so what exactly is the point? And like to doing something like that, you have a system in place, you have a structure and a culture in place. The plan has to be even more aggressive, mm-hmm. on trying to change the roster right now. And if you can't, then I mean, that's just like you have to admit that you got yourself into a situation and you failed,
mm-hmm.
because that's where we're heading with this. Like if you can't make a move, if you can't figure out a way to get through to pull yourself out of this, you have to admit that whatever you created wasn't good enough and that you failed at the task,
mm-hmm.
and that has its own repercussions. And so like I don't know where they go. I don't know how they find something that will change the entire course of this season, but they should be looking for that right now. And again, you're not making a panic move. You're going to have to give up more than you wanted to because you put yourself in a situation that just is not working out at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, Domantas Sabonis said last night, I think, hey, we're only 3 games out of fifth place still. But that is such a long ways away because...
That's a fine mantra to take if you were 15-12. It's like, hey, we're 3 games out.
Yeah.
Like, okay. They're 2 games under. 500 feels a long way away.
Kyle, they're 3 games out of first place, but they're also 3.5 out of fifth place. They're also 3.5 games out of 13th place, and they're 6 games out of 14th place, and they're 8 games out of last place. And in all honesty, they're at the very bottom of the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm.
There are 4 teams at the bottom of the Western Conference, and the Sacramento Kings are one of those 4 teams.
Oof.
And so, yeah, you are 3 games behind the Clippers, but how do you make that up? How do you make that up when you can't win at home?
Mm-hmm.
When you're now, what, 6-9 at home?
Yeah.
How do you make it up? I don't know the answer,
because
that's tough.
I have no clue. Here's what we're going to do. We have a lot to discuss. I see lots of ideas in the chatty house. I want to get to all of them. I also want to get to the Elk Grove Kia talk line at 916-909-1320. Mitch, I see you hanging out. Mitch, I know you can hear me. Go ahead and hang up and give us a call back in a little bit because it's 10:30 on a Friday.
That's right.
We had a long discussion about this.
We did.
Faraz Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy is going to hop in right now. Well, at 10:30, coming up here in a minute. We're going to do our fantasy football thing because, and then we've got Kings for another hour after that.
Yeah.
So we're going to do our fantasy football thing because the Kings are already ruining weekends.
Yes.
We don't want you to also have your fantasy football playoffs ruined.
Yeah. if we're going to bring in a fantasy expert all season long and then leave you high and dry when you get to the playoffs, that would not be okay.
Not ideal.
No.
Faraz will be joining us next.
The ultimate
Faraz,
palate cleanser.
After Faraz, we'll get back into the messy stuff with the Kings because we got to talk about Mike Brown. We got to talk about DeMar DeRozan. Got to talk about Monty McNair. We'll continue talking about De'Aaron Fox. There is so much to get into because it's red button time for the Kings. And we're going to get into that. But we're also going to get you help with your fantasy football playoffs. So hit us up at youtube.com/ESPN1320. That's the chatty house. Jump in there. Ask your questions. We are here for you. We're trying to help you win your fantasy football matchups this weekend. Hopefully winning some money. Let's get that holiday season started right. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders. Fantasy Friday coming up next. And then a bunch of Kings with an emergency Sacramento Kings roundtable at 11:30 with D'Lo, KC, Jesse Tapia. The whole gang is going to be in here discussing what the hell is wrong with the Kings. All of that coming up on the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. He's James. I'm Kyle. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We have another hour to be angry about the Kings, and we're going to get into all of the different angles that we need to get into with the Sacramento Kings. But before we do that, we have a little palate cleanser with the homie Faraz Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy, getting you ready for the fantasy football playoffs. Faraz, hello. Good morning. We appreciate you for saving us from the depths of hell that we have to reach to talk about the Sacramento Kings right now. Thank you so much, man.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And, you know, fantasy football semifinals this week for most people is nerve-wracking, man. It's like, you know, I had to sweat in a few leagues last week. Monday night, man, like I needed a couple guys to not score. Like when you have no guys going on a Monday night and you need guys to not score, you got to pretty much stay up for the entire game and just watch that thing until the clock hits zero. You know, otherwise, you know, it's super anxiety inducing. But I'm glad I was able to make it out.
There's nothing more exhilarating than like you need a, I don't know, Keenan Allen touchdown. I don't know why I picked Keenan Allen. And there's 4 minutes left and the Bears have the ball and it's like, or you need a Keenan Allen touchdown or you need this many catches for this many yards, whatever you need this amount of points. And there's nothing more exhilarating than when he gets that catch. Like he gets that catch for 40 yards and it's like you won. But there's also nothing worse than like Caleb Williams drops back. Oh, he's airing it out. Oh, who's going to? Oh, it's Roma Dunze. Oh, touchdown. Oh, they're not going to get the ball back. I lost. Like there's,
Well, I had the Dobbins situation this season where Dobbins on the last, with 16 seconds left, were up like 8.5. He goes for the touchdown, right? But it's only like a 12-yard touchdown. But he also has Dicker and lines up and kicks the extra point, and we lose by 0.6 or something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's brutal. Like all season long, that was sort of, you know, where we were at. As a Jets fan, you've got to be, like, you can compare a little bit with what's going on with Sacramento Kings, right?
Yeah, totally, I guess. I mean, the problem is that the Jets have way too many expectations all the time. That's the problem, right? Oh. So, you know, and the New York market doesn't help either. You know, it's just like every day it's something else. This whole Woody Johnson thing with the Madden ratings with Jerry Jeudy, you know, his son... You know, his kids being in meetings, his wife talking about the players. Like, this is way too much, you know. And I am choosing to believe all of it because I just don't like this man. He has taken my team and he has made me want to reconsider. And I am reconsidering. Wow. I am taking applications for new teams. So, the only teams I can't do. Oh, like the clear front runner teams and also like the Giants. Can't do the Giants, unfortunately.
Are you also wiping out the AFC East?
Yeah, I think I have to. I think that's a rule, right? Yeah. It's an unwritten rule, I would say.
You're not just gonna stick around for the Brick Johnson era?
No, I am not.
It can't be that far after the Woody Johnson era.
You know, the problem is that I don't even see him selling. That's the problem. You know?
Yeah.
I see them just sticking this out.
Yeah.
Forever.
Been there.
Yeah, I'm sad.
Brutal.
I'm sad.
Brutal.
Yeah. Sad times.
Alas, let's stop commiserating and let's win some people some fantasy football games. I'm not going to even do a bit this week. I'm asking these questions for me and James. And a listener, this affects you because if we win this league, our work league, we're going to unsanctioned go to a local watering hole still to be determined, and we're going to open up a tab.
That's
so
right.
This affects you. So Faraz, I've got a couple of questions for the Swift, Kirk, and the Dickers. Brenton Strange or Hunter Henry in the tight end spot? Brenton Strange had, I think, 11 catches last week or 11 targets.
Mm-hmm. Targets, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had 11 targets last week with Mac Jones at quarterback. Is that something that we should be confident in leaning on?
Yeah, confident. You know, when you're comparing to Hunter Henry, you know, you got to make, it's more of a decision point, right? Yeah. And I think Brenton Strange, you know, we've seen this before, right? Earlier on in the season when Evan Engram was out for several weeks, right? And Brenton Strange was able to come through and hold it down. And I think that's what he could do this week. He only had one less target than Brian Thomas Jr. last week. And we saw what Brian Thomas Jr. was able to do last week. And the matchup against Vegas is really good. They're fourth. They're giving up the fourth most receiving yards per game to tight ends, the fourth most touchdowns per game, the fourth most receptions per game, and the fifth most fantasy points per game. So I would say it's a good matchup. And I don't really want – now, while the Bills play a lot of too high coverage, and that means a lot of underneath stuff for Hunter Henry, I prefer to go with the guy who got double-digit targets last week. And Mac Jones has been – Mac Jones is like the most – like I saw a tweet. I forgot who tweeted this. So someone gets credit, not me. But he's like the most like overconfident quarterback who like actually sucks. Like that's Mac Jones, right? But right. But yeah, no, I think I'm going Brenton Strange here pretty easily, I would say.
All right. We've got some decisions to make at running back as well. We've got Tyrone Tracy, DeAndre Swift, Kendre Miller, and Tank Bigsby. And I think we can only start one of those guys. Where are you going with this group of questionable dudes?
This is for a flex.
It is for a flex, yeah, because I did throw in Jacoby Myers in there.
Oh, is Jacoby Myers an option?
Yeah. Oh, no, my bad. My bad. My bad. My bad. Oh.
Yeah. So here's what we're dealing with.
Well, I just totally messed up.
No, I did. Let me help you help me.
All right.
We have two flex spots. And we have Tyrone Tracy, DeAndre Swift, Kendre Miller, and Tank Bigsby.
Okay.
We also have DJ Moore and Jacoby Myers.
And you're starting them as your wide receiver plays.
These are
no,
two
those
flexes.
Are also flex options.
Oh, so yeah, I would go with the two wide receivers. I would in your two flex spots, I would go DJ Moore and Jacoby Myers over those running backs.
Over Tracy and Swift and Bigsby?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say so. I mean, Jacoby's getting Aiden O'Connell back, which is great. Okay. The matchup is so good. You know, he's going up against the Jaguars. The Jaguars are giving up the second most receiving yards per game, the most 20-plus reception yards per 20-plus receptions per game, the most 40-plus receptions per game.
Oh, my God.
The third most fantasy points per game. So this is Jacoby Myers is like a solid wide receiver, too, that you're able to put in your flex. So I would feel really good about that. DJ Moore, same thing there. Carlton Davis is out for the Lions, right? This is barbecue chicken, okay? For like DJ Moore, even Romo Dunze, who caught two touchdowns 2 weeks ago, he almost had a touchdown or two, you know, this past on Monday night. I was sweating that out, by the way. I was happy he didn't catch those. I would have lost. But I think DJ Moore this week, very good matchup. I'm all about it. I think they're going to be chasing points in that one. And I think, you know, DJ Moore can do his thing. So is this a PPR, half PPR?
Half PPR.
I'm leaning the receivers here. If I had to pick a running back, it would actually be Kendre Miller over Tyrone Tracy and over
Swift.
Swift, yeah. Because Roshan could be coming back. He had two full practices, so he could steal some goal line work from Swift. And the Tracy thing, Devin Singletary got a whole lot of work last week out of nowhere. And this was not after a fumble, so this is not a doghouse thing. Last week he had to contend with the tough matchup against the Ravens and Devin Singletary. So that wasn't great. I think Kendre Miller is going to be their workhorse. You could see him playing, you know, 75% of snaps or more, along with the receiving game stuff too. So I'm not really worried about game script there for those who are thinking about starting Kendre Miller. But yeah, in this situation, I think I'll go with the two receivers.
Kyle, you know what's going to happen now. We're going to have to watch the Jaguars play the Las Vegas Raiders.
You also have Brian Thomas.
Half of our team is going to be in the worst game that anyone ever. Like,
we're locked in. Let's go.
We're locked into two teams. Neither one of which want to win. They don't want to win at all. Like,
Into Raiders Jags right here on ESPN 1320.
Oh, yeah. We have that game.
You're home of the Las Vegas Raiders. For us, the Upper Hand Fantasy. Joining us for Fantasy Friday, answering your fantasy football questions. That's all I had for our team. Is that, I think we're all set?
Yeah, I think so, man. This looks pretty good. If you guys have those two in your flex, it's looking pretty good.
Love that. Love that for us. Yeah. All right. Let's get the listener question started with Steven Castaneda. He wants to know, should he start Jared Goff or Caleb Williams in that NFC North showdown?
I did actually move Caleb up my rankings a little bit this morning after looking into the matchup a little bit more. But he's still outside my top 12. He's right there, though. You know, I couldn't move him up over guys. Like, I think Aaron Rodgers is like a step above him or something like that. But Goff, he's been hot. You know, David Montgomery is not playing. They could depend on the pass a little bit more. You know, he was solid against the Bears the last time around. I think it was like 240-2 or something like that. I think he'll be okay in this one. He has the weapons. You know, Gibbs, will they be a ground and pound team against the Bears? Usually game script indicates that to be the case against the Bears because of how vulnerable they are on the ground. But I think Goff can get it done. I'm leaning Goff by a hair just based off of his recent, you know, high ceiling performances.
All right. Let's get to Will Z's question. Will Z, hey, Faraz, which of the following three would you go with? Ridley, Najee, Devontae Smith, Madison, Jaden Reed, or Metcalf? Three of them.
Mm.
This is actually tough because all these guys are kind of in the same tier for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think Metcalf and Devontae Smith are two that I kind of want to get in. Metcalf, he's been on the usage has been there from like a target share perspective, air yard share perspective, but JSN has straight up been outplaying him, outproducing him over the past like 5 or 6 weeks, even after he was back from injury, after Metcalf was back. But the matchup this week is pretty good. and I think he could potentially bounce back in this one. So I'm going to go with Metcalf. Devontae Smith, without Dallas Goedert, has been really good, you know, over the course of the last couple seasons. So this, we have a, you know, sizable sample there. And I think Devontae Smith, just like you showed last week, can get it done. The matchup isn't, you know, amazing against the Commanders. But I'm going to lean in Devontae Smith's direction because he's not somebody who is really matchup specific, right? And then also, you know, Goddard's out, like I mentioned, but AJ Brown's also dealing with that injury too. So how much does that limit him? Will they go in, you know, more Devontae's way with him being the only full participant in practice this week? So, yeah, I think I'm going with those two. And then if I had to pick one more, you know, I might go with the safe floor here. And you know who the safe floor pick is? It's Alexander Mattison. Another guy in this Jaguars-Raiders game. You know, since your McCormick is on IR, Madison's probably going to be the primary early down back. I know, you know, we could, you know, see some other backs involved, but Madison is likely going to be the guy. The Jaguars have been terrible against running backs when it comes to fantasy. So I'm going to lean in Madison's direction here just by a hair.
Well, Palak,
Metcalf, Devontae, and Madison.
Little palate cleanser from complaining about the Kings. We'll solve all the Kings' problems in the next hour. Right now, we're talking with Faraz Siddiqui, helping you win your fantasy football playoff matchups. Faraz Siddiqui, Upper Hand Fantasy and upperhandfantasy.com. Fode wants to know, Nico Collins, Terry McLaurin, Cooper Kupp, or Brian Thomas Jr.? You got to start two of those. That's a good receiving core.
Two of those? Oh, my goodness. I got to go Nico, and I got to go Brian Thomas Jr.
Bro,
those are the two I'm going.
Real quick, I'm punting Cooper Kupp for that fat zero last week.
Oh,
I hear that.
I'm
I
done
hear you,
with
man.
Him, dude. That was brutal.
I hear you. You know what? I overcame the Cooper Kupp zero.
Wow.
And I was able to win last week. But you know why? I had Jared Goff. It was a super flex league. I had Jared Goff, and I had Chase Brown, but I also had Jalen Hurts. Oh. Those three guys just
lit it up.
Pulled me through, man. Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable. So I'm giving him a mulligan because I won.
All right.
He'll be back in my lineup this week. But with these options, McLaurin has a little bit of a tough matchup, so he's a little bit down the rankings this week. Brian Thomas Jr., he's like basically unbenchable based on his usage the last 2 weeks. So, yeah, him and Nico.
All right. Let's get to Steven Castaneda. Marvin Harrison Jr., Garrett Wilson, or neighbors. He gets to start two of these guys.
I would say not Marvin Harrison Jr. I'll go with neighbors and Garrett. Neighbors has a good matchup. You know, he's getting Drew Lock back, which is fine. And then Garrett Wilson has a good matchup this week. He should be able to get it done. Marvin Harrison just not, you know, he's been super inconsistent. Not someone I want to depend on in the fantasy semifinals.
Where are we here? I got lost.
We're at Norm.
We're at Norm? Where's Norm?
Right here.
There we go. There's Norm. We had some Kings questions above it, which is where I was getting lost.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Norm.
Okay, guys, 30 seconds. What happened to the Kings? What is happening today? Please tell me. Just 30 seconds.
They just got thumped by the Lakers last night after losing a heartbreaker on Tuesday against Nuggets, and they're 13-15 and all kinds of
expectations in this area where they were going to be a playoff team this year, and it is going the wrong direction.
Yeah, the wheels are coming off bus a little bit.
Yeah. After a disappointing year last year. Yeah, we're in a bad space. We're in a bad place.
Okay.
I'm sorry I had to bring it up,
but I just needed to know.
We're about where the Jets were when Robert Saleh got fired. Like that kind of realization of, oh, it's not going to work.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So that's what we're grappling with today.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. You know, that wasn't the moment for us.
What was the moment for you?
Right after that, when we traded for Davante Adams. They traded for Davante Adams. Yeah. Or was it before that? I don't remember. Anyway, when they traded for Davante Adams right before that Steelers game, and we still lost that Steelers game.
Oh.
That's really what it was for us. Yikes. It was over. Anyway, I digress. Please, Norm.
looks like we have
every player in the league. And he needs two of them.
Defense advice as I string it.
What?
And I'm packing this one up. Sorry, Norm. I got to reread it. And Soren, is Hockenson a good play this week if Njoku can't play?
Oh.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, Njoku is just, it's rough anyway, right? Yeah, I know the Bengals defense is very vulnerable, but like with DTR as the quarterback, it's really hard to trust this passing offense. But yes, Hockenson is a very, very solid pivot, I would say, over Njoku. And even if Njoku can play, I wouldn't blame anyone for playing Hockenson this week without Jameis.
Okay, so here's what happened with Norm. Norm was just listing his team.
Yeah.
It's an impressive team. Right. Good team, Norm. He wanted defensive advice, which, as we know on Fantasy Friday with Faraz Siddiqui, he doesn't do.
No.
So I'll answer that one. I'll answer that one for you, Norm. I love to stream a defense. Who else we got?
I thought you were actually going to answer the question. It's okay.
No, I'll do. I gotta do a little research first.
Okay, so P Dub, we got Stroud, or Darnold, Jerome Ford, or Najee Harris.
Who are the options? Who are the options, man? Let me know the options, please, for the defenses, please. Now I feel bad. You know what I'm saying?
He has Buffalo's defense going against Chicago.
Yep.
You got Kansas City.
No, Buffalo's not going against Chicago.
Bills
are going against New England.
Yes, sorry. It was the other rookie quarterback, Drake May.
Yep.
You have Buffalo going against New England. You have Kansas City going against the Texans and the Falcons. I don't know who the Falcons play.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. I kind of like the Falcons. Falcons going against the Giants at home. Going Falcons.
Ooh.
Oh.
Final answer.
Falcons got the Giants.
Oh, there we go.
All right, very good. Norm, congratulations. You were the first person to ever get Faraz to answer a defense question.
That's right.
It was guilty, you know? It was all guilt.
P-Dub, Stroud or Darnold, Jerome Ford or Najee Harris?
I'm going to go Darnold over Stroud. Doesn't matter what the matchup is. And then Jerome Ford or Najee, I'm going to lean Jerome Ford.
Okay.
Cincinnati. All right, let's rip through. We got about 5 minutes left here. Let's rip through these quickly. Brenton Strange, David Njoku, or Tucker Kraft at TE?
You know what? I'm going Brenton Strange. Without Jameis, I don't trust Njoku as much.
We had a couple of Jameis-related questions in here, and I'll just try and get those out of the way all at once here. Are you still starting Jerry Jeudy this week?
That's
Dorian
Thompson-Robinson?
Right?
Big downgrade. He's more of a wide receiver 3 to me than a high-end wide receiver 2 now.
Okay.
That's really where he's at. So he is startable, but am I going out of my way to keep him in my lineup? No.
And then in the same vein as new starting quarterbacks, Michael Penix is starting. Does that affect Darnell Mooney's ranking at all for you? That's from our guy Keith.
I think it gives me a little bit more confidence, to be honest. Like I just, you know, the last 3 weeks, two of those were complete duds from Mooney. And a lot of that had to do with Kirk Cousins. I mean, all of it had to do with Kirk Cousins, to be honest. So, you know, Penix's first start, like, I think the expectations are a little too high, right? Rightfully so, though. I can understand the offense.
Just rapid fire. You go through and rapid fire.
But, I think it will affect them positively.
Great.
Okay, we got a rapid fire here. Let's get through these. From P-Dub, Brian Thomas Jr., Jacoby Myers, or Devontae Smith?
Brian Thomas Jr.
Excellent. That's where I would go. We got Cousin Pete, Odunze or Jacoby Myers in my flex?
Jacoby.
Okay. From EG, we've got T. Higgins or Drake London and Rashad White or Bucky Irving.
Ooh, this is close. I'm going to go T. Higgins here. He is good to go. And Rashad White or Bucky Irving. I'm going to go Bucky. Bucky's a running back RB1 play for me this week. So I'm going to go Bucky and T. Higgins.
Okay, perfect. We've got Randy. I have Keenan Allen on my bench. Should I have started him over Jeudy? He had a big game against the Lions on Thanksgiving.
I think I am. You know, as much as I hate to bench Jeudy as much. Man, it sucks. But
I don't want to have to root for Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
I know.
Okay.
I like him fine, but he's just not a good player.
All right.
They're going to chase points, so.
Yeah.
Going Keenan.
Let's hit Kyler Murray or Jaden Daniels.
I'm going Jaden Daniels here, even with the tough matchup.
Okay. Let's see. We'll just keep ripping through these.
Kate Otten or Cole Kmet?
There we go.
Kate Otten, if he's healthy. Just keep an eye on his practice status.
Great.
Man, these just keep moving quickly on us. Pick 2, Metcalf, Downs, Thielen, Odunze, or McMillan?
I'm going to go with Metcalf and McMillan.
Yeah, Jalen McMillan's interesting.
Okay. Breece Hall or Ken Walker and Juwan Jennings or Malik Nabers?
I'm going Breece over Kenneth, and then I'm going to go Juwan Jennings over Malik Nabers.
Oh,
nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last one
from Patrick. Trying to decide RB and flex. I have Irving, Walker, Stevenson, and Patrick Taylor on the bench available.
I'm going Irving and Kenneth Walker with those four.
All right. Nice. There it is.
Yeah, I'm staying. I had a buddy reach out and ask me, like, hey, what should I do with Patrick Taylor? I don't know that the Niners trust him enough to give him the volume that makes him a valuable fantasy asset.
I agree. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
We're hoping he might 45 passing attempts by Brock Purdy.
He had a big Brock Purdy game.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of Debo.
Things got quiet. Got quiet.
That's
not a D word?
I'm sorry.
Debo, yeah, no. We'll talk about the other Debo, DeMar DeRozan here coming up as well. yeah, man. I'm out on Debo Samuel as a fantasy option this year.
All right.
Tough. He's on waivers in my leagues.
Oh my God.
Oof.
Yikes.
Oof.
That's Faraz Siddiqui. UpperhandFantasy.com is the website. Upperhand Fantasy on Instagram. You can subscribe to the Upperhand Fantasy podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Faraz, thank you so much. We appreciate you, and hopefully we'll talk to you again next week.
Happy holidays, dude. Right.
Yeah, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Oh, you too, guys. You too. Have a great holiday.
Yep, you do talk the soon. Same. Yep, see you, Faraz.
Bye.
Appreciate you. There he goes. Faraz Siddiqui, Upperhand Fantasy, man. He's just the very best. Needed that. Needed a fun conversation. That was a good time.
I know.
I'm sorry if we didn't get to your questions. We appreciate everybody who asks questions. We really like doing that segment, and we hope that people find it helpful. Okay. We have to step aside momentarily. When we get back, we have red buttons to push with the Kings. We want to hear from you at 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. You can make one move with the Kings. You get to hit your red button, and it does whatever you want. You get to make one move. What move is that? On the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. We got another hour coming up at the Insiders. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube sponsors the show. It's ESPN 1320 and Sacramento Sports Center.